Hey there. I am so glad that you're here. I'm Priscilla. Welcome to the chat. I'm excited about today because today we get to chat with some folks that I just want you to know. My husband and I had an opportunity to meet these two guys a little over a year ago, and I have been itching for the opportunity to introduce them to you if you've not already heard of them. They are incredible gentlemen, and let's see, I'm trying to figure out how I would describe them if I could just pick one word or just several single words. Let's see, unapologetic. Fearless. I would also say that they are a lot of fun, and they're a tad weird, just slightly on the bent of strange, but in the most incredible way. You are going to love getting to know Jason and David Benham, because you know they really are willing to do whatever it takes to stand for truth, and that's what you're going to be excited to hear about today. So stay tuned. Welcome to the chat. I'm so glad that you're here. We have already been chatting with some brothers that I can't wait to introduce you to even more during this segment. But please know this is part two of a conversation we've already been having, so make sure that you view part one. You're going to want to meet these incredible guys and hear everything it is that they have to share. They are the authors of Whatever the Cost, and they have had to put a lot on the line, but they had a good model that they've been telling us about their dad. So we can't wait to meet him as well. But for now, would you please help me to welcome David and Jason Benham to the program today. I love this book so much. You know, my boys are going to be reading this book, even if they can only, because you've got principles in here. Is it 12 of them?
Yeah, we've got 12 pages of principles, 61 principles.
So it's 61 principles in this book, Whatever the Cost. Tell me what your favorite of those principles are.
Let me say this real quick.
Okay.
I remember you sending me a little video of your youngest son, Jude.
Yeah, six years old.
He was looking at David on the cover, and didn't he say that David looked like a giraffe?
Yes. Yes, that's exactly what he said.
I thought that was so pertinent.
He was looking
at my twin brother.
Well, yeah. But still.
But it was you, like, he pointed out to say that you look like a giraffe.
Yeah. Oh, it was awesome. That was clutch.
I mean, you do look a little like a giraffe.
Yeah, thank you, Priscilla. See, you derailed me. I was ready to just give you one of our principles.
No. I'm going to hit the principle
first.
I can't
even think straight.
I'll hit.
Do you speak giraffe?
Thank you.
What do you mean?
That's enough out of you.
Okay.
Okay.
Boldness, apart from brokenness, makes a bully on both sides.
That's good.
We learned this ourselves, is that... you know, that we need to experience brokenness at the foot of the cross first.
Yeah.
Over our own sins. And you know, when you're broken over your own sin, you have a really great ability to look at other people and to feel genuine love for that person.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of where they fit on the spectrum of behaviors, you love the person. You can stand diametrically opposed to the idea, but when you're coming from a position of brokenness, then what you'll do is you'll stand with boldness against ideas that set themselves up against the knowledge of God, but you'll be able to reach out with compassion to the individuals that hold those ideas.
Yeah.
And only the supernatural moving of the Holy Spirit can do that.
So you can separate the idea from the person.
That's right.
Yeah. From the individual.
Yes. What about you? What would you say would be your favorite of the principles?
Oh, just off the top of my head, one of them, just because we had to experience it ourselves, was true courage is first recognizing your inner coward and allowing the Holy Spirit to unleash your inner lion.
Mm-hmm.
Because we felt, I mean, when we first started getting some pressure that we could potentially lose our reality show, at this point, we had a big platform. And for a Christian, when you're given a secular platform to 100 million homes and big money contract and endorsement deals coming in, and you're told by the network execs you're going to be stars on the network, you're going to do all these things, that is an awesome opportunity for ministry. And that was
our
goal.
That's what I was about to say. You were looking at this as a chance to share Jesus with
we had already shot personal videos on getting into the scripture, being a good family guy, and all of these things, and started embedding them on our website, getting ready. We were developing a personality website, which is what other reality show stars do. But ours was totally, we had built a Bible reading app to get people into the scripture. We were going to get millions into the scripture. That was our whole goal. But when we realized, oh, we could lose this thing, we got very scared. And we almost sent an email to them saying, hey guys, we won't talk about anything controversial, don't worry about it. But then we recognized very quickly, that's not what Jesus did, that's not what the early church did. We're gonna speak the truth of love, the truth in love, whatever the cost.
Yeah, you know what, I once heard Francis Chan, he's a preacher, and he was speaking at a leadership conference where there were lots of pastors and ministers in the audience. And he said to them, you know, when I really think about it, if Jesus were on earth today, my church would probably be bigger than Jesus's church, because Jesus wouldn't tolerate half the stuff that we sometimes as leaders are willing to just kind of let fly so that everybody feels comfortable and all things are politically correct. He says, you know, I'd have more people in my church than Jesus. And there's something wrong with that picture. You know,
oh, yeah.
What Jesus stands for should be what I'm standing for, too.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. We love Francis Chan, by the way.
Yeah,
but,
he's awesome.
We've learned that if church is a place that you go and testimony is something that you give, then attendance to a physical location is what's paramount. That's what's most important.
Right.
But if church is something that you are and testimony is something that you live, then being salt and light, being the body of Christ in the culture is what's paramount.
Yeah.
And so in that moment when HG fired us, we knew now is our opportunity to be salty on a different platform. And we can just let God handle the results however he sees fit.
You should be salt wherever you go.
Okay, but here's a question. Were you mad? Did you go through a day, two, three, a week, a month, where you were just kind of angry about this whole, and disappointed?
You know, I can honestly say, I can speak for me, I don't know about you, I didn't feel any anger, and here's why. We say in our book, if you want to live powerfully, live a life powerfully, you've got to face your fear on one side and die to your dream on the other. Dying to your dream means that you die to it in your heart, but you move toward it with your feet. You leave the results to God. So whatever it is that you have, whatever that goal, vision, dream, it
ministry,
is,
ministry, elected position, you hold whatever it might be.
You hold it with an open hand.
Yeah.
That way when God decides to take it out of your hand, he doesn't have to pry your fingers. So with HGTV, honestly, we went in knowing that one day we're probably going to lose this, because we're not guys that just talk about the blessings of God. We're guys that also talk about the boundaries that God gives in order for us to experience the blessings that he has for us. And if you talk boundaries of God today, you're very unpopular. And so we knew that in a matter of time, we'd get fired.
Yeah.
So when we got fired, we're like, I knew it.
We were disappointed, genuinely disappointed. But the only anger by God's grace that we had was righteous anger toward unrighteousness in terms of the way that this bully agenda went after HGTV. Because like I said earlier, and we describe it in our book, HG fought tooth and nail for us. And then they started getting bullied by these activist groups. I mean, they were getting phone calls and emails and posts and saying complete and total lies. As a matter of fact, one article that a group wrote said that we stood in front of a mosque with a Bible chanting, God hates Muslims. Now, that is a lie from hell. We've never said anything like that. But that's the kind of stuff that HG was getting. And so HG was calling us, and with tears in their eyes, they're saying, guys, we are trying our best, but this is just too much for us. So we felt that righteous, almost like David, you know, facing Goliath indignation.
What were you praying? Were you praying, Lord, we really would like to do this show. Would you just allow us to be able to still do the show? Or was your prayer more?
Give us boldness.
Boldness. Yeah, you were praying for boldness.
Our prayer was boldness. In the same way in Acts,
Peter
and John, they didn't pray that they could keep their positions or anything like that. They said, God, give me boldness. And that's what we prayed for, because here we were. We had never been on national TV before. And we've got cameras all over our office now. And we walk in and everybody's waiting to hear what we have to say about getting fired. And we just prayed that the Lord would give us boldness. And sure enough, I mean, God did it.
This is interesting to me, because I want to know, do you think it would have been an incorrect prayer to pray for, to stay on the program, the program to work out?
Here's the only grid that we had. Now, we can't say yes or no, but one thing we knew, we had read the story of David and Goliath 20 years. David had already been promised the kingdom as a young kid. And then he's bringing bread and cheese to his brothers on the line of battle. And then he hears Goliath. Now think about this. First, Goliath is a pretty taunting man. I mean, that's a scary dude. So he had to face his fear. But in the back of his mind, think about this. He had the kingdom. If he would have just bowed out of that fight, Imagine how much influence he could have as king, and he could ultimately deal with the Philistines one day. Or, you know, if I just lay low, I've already got the throne. David didn't do that. David said, I see a stronghold. There is someone that is defying the armies of the living God. I know who's behind this, this bully agenda. I am going after it. I'm not going to sit here and say, Lord, protect my kingdom, protect my church, protect my book deal, my Twitter following, protect my elected position. That's what leaders are doing today. A lot of leaders are.
This is the difference between the men of Ephraim and the men of Issachar. The men of Ephraim in Psalm 78, they were armed with bows, but they turned back on the day of battle. Now they were unified. They were armed for battle, but they had no intentions of fighting. But now the men of Issachar, who understood the times and knew what Israel should do, in that moment when we got fired from HGTV, we felt like we heard Goliath taunting. And in that moment, understanding our times, going and dealing with that bully agenda, in that moment, standing for righteousness was far more important than us keeping our show.
That's good.
If the times were different, maybe we should have gone after and tried to keep the show, but not in these times.
10 years ago, we could have kept our show, but not today.
Do you think that the reason why you have that kind of boldness is because of your dad?
I think that God has used our dad, but the reason why is because the Holy Spirit fills us, and we're feeding him every single day in the scripture and on our knees.
Yeah, we're dining with the Holy Spirit in the scripture.
It's really because of Tony Evans.
Because of who?
Tony Evans.
Your dad.
Well,
we love him.
We're so
intimidated
by him.
Why are you intimidated by dad?
Because he would scream at us if we didn't stand strong.
What do you mean? On the radio?
When he's maybe preaching? I don't know.
I know.
Those coward twins, they should stand strong.
Well, you did, and they took my dad out for a steak one night when we were in Charlotte. My parents came up to visit. We were all working on a ministry project this summer in the Charlotte area. Dad came up to visit me, met these guys, and y'all just, like, he just met y'all, and you were like, come on, let's go. Put him in the car.
And he danced
him to go
with
get
us
a steak
in the street.
Yeah, and there was some music in the street that night, and they got my father, my 65-year-old father, on video dancing in
it
the
was,
street in Charlotte.
Oh, you should have seen
awesome.
Him bobbing that head. He even got his little shoulders into it.
I thought he was going to start doing the funky chicken right out there in front of everybody, but couldn't get him to do it.
Anyway.
We've derailed. Let's get us back on track.
Speaking of dads, your dad told you this. You boys don't need to be afraid of who you are and whose you are. You say that's what Dad told us. God has made you bold for a reason and for a season. And now is your time. You need to stand up and be the men God has made you to be. Our nation needs strong leaders. The church needs courage. And you need to be men of God who run straight to the roar. That's the kind of dad you have. He's not messing around.
No, when you hear things like that.
Growing up, you heard it your whole life.
And that, in context of where we were in the book, is Jason and I started feeling pressure just before we got fired. And we called Dad and we're like, Dad, we're not sure what's going to happen. And he's like, stop. Whatever happens, happens. But you be bold. You be strong. And that'll really get in you.
I just think we need to meet this dad. Don't you think we need to meet this dad? He's awesome, and I want to bring him out. We're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we are going to meet Flip, the man of the hour. Stay tuned.
This is going to be an incredible experience where we all get to see what it's like to experience God's unfailing love. We are incredibly loved, incredibly valuable, and incredibly capable of blowing it. That's why we are in the book of Hosea. I want you to experience it. I want you to be able to enjoy it. I want you to be able to taste and see that the Lord is good. If you're lost, the message of Hosea is that God will find you. If you're ashamed, He'll cover you. If you've wandered off, He'll come get you. If you have given up on Him, He is not going to give up on you. If you have found yourself in chains and in slavery and you don't know how you got there, He will buy you back and give you freedom. That's the incredible scandal of God's love. He would do whatever it takes to restore us. That kind of unfailing love will change everything.
Welcome back. I'm so glad that you have returned because, listen, I've got some new people to sort of introduce you to that we've kind of added to the mix here on our program. And this is the first guy that I'd like for you to meet. His name is Jerry Shire. This is my man, right?
Oh, yeah. This is my man. Come on, mm-hmm. brother.
And the reason why he's joining us, the reason why he's joining us is because we've got another dad, and we're raising boys, and we've got a question or two for this dad right here. I want you to welcome to the show Flip Benham. Yeah.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. What was it like raising these boys?
Well, it was different. Mom and I had a difficult time. We couldn't go to church for the first couple of years because of these two. I mean, we could go to church, but we couldn't turn them loose anywhere. Otherwise, it was interesting.
Yeah, and
growing up, when we were in seminary, going through seminary, the boys were out into everything. They were very athletic guys, very active. They were like two little otters. They loved each other. They ran around and got in so much trouble. And it was just great. And his mother, or the kid's mother, my wife of 43 years, we are so blessed to have them because there was a time when I had made up my mind we weren't going to have them. And I was looking for abortion, not mama. Just dad, and God just he stopped me. I was an alcoholic, owned a saloon in Kissimmee, Florida, just a messed up person, just surrounded north, south, east, and west by myself, and God saved me.
Awesome.
And I went into the old church where these two boys were baptized, and when they were kids, we didn't baptize them; we actually dedicated them to the Lord in a little Free Methodist church on North Thacker Avenue, just about 11 miles south of Disney World. And I can remember when we dedicated them to the Lord. Now, I did not receive Jesus in my heart when we dedicated them to the Lord. I did not know the Lord. And I just thought, I almost did the most awful thing. Thank God for a strong mother who stood and said, there's no way, there would be no possible way that that would happen. But that was my desire to get rid of them. They're here today because God moved in our heart, and they are here today for a reason and for a purpose. And they have to
Bravo, just lay everything down and just stand.
For the Lord Jesus Christ. And Mom has kept me straight in a lot of times when I would go astray.
She's so sweet, too. She is just the most sweet, endearing personality, your mom. She's so sweet. Okay, so you raised these boys. You raised them fearlessly, boldly. We've got three young boys, 12, 10, and 6 years old.
Yeah.
So, you know, Jerry's here because we decided we've got some questions for you as a dad to help us make sure, as best we can, that we're doing all that we can to have strong boys like these guys.
And one of the things I've always noticed, I've never seen him without his Bible. I don't care where he is.
Yeah.
At dinner, I've never, ever seen you without that Bible.
Do you literally have it just everywhere?
I do. I carry it not just so much that everybody sees it, but that I'm always reminded of who I am. And I want to live out loud. And a lot of times, I'm not just confronting Sodom and Gomorrah with its sin. I'm reminding myself all the time that this is who I represent. This is the Jesus who saved me, not the Republican Party, not our government, not a psychiatrist. It was Jesus who entered into my life, cleansed me of all of my sin, set me upon a rock, put a new song in my mouth, and I'm going to sing it for him as best I can wherever I go and whoever I'm with. And as I've been watching these guys, they're doing the same thing. And as I've watched that man, there is a man of courage. And when I first met him last year and looked in his eyes and talked with him for just a little while, I knew who he was. And I know he knows that trumpet sound. We're listening to the same one, and it's so good. It's just warriors' hearts gathered together. It's what attracted Jonathan to David. And it's what men need. What's going on in Baltimore? Those young boys need dads, not moms whipping them up inside of the head. They need a dad out there doing that. That's God gave us fathers to get the reins on these Mustangs. So instead of ripping people off, standing on street corners, ripping people off, they'll be laying their lives down. that others might live. And you know, I know this, there isn't a police force big enough to make a young man do what's right. I don't care what color he is, it doesn't matter. That's just surface stuff. But there is a king I know that once he gets into the heart of that young man, instead of ripping people off, he's going to be laying his life down that others might live and know this Jesus that sets the captive free.
You know, I just wish you had a little passion, because if you did, it would be so much more effective, I think.
Prophets don't speak in sound bites.
No.
Yeah. I'm sitting here like, hey, 30
okay.
seconds.
We went, okay, it's okay. No, Jerry, great. What do you want to ask him about these wild men that we're raising?
Great. Hey, can I say this real quick?
Yes.
Dad doesn't go anywhere without his Bible, but you don't go anywhere without those biceps. Because that's pretty impressive looking. Look at that, man. And he'd like to have those biceps.
I would. I'm jealous.
Here we go.
I like them, too.
See? He's like, because I just couldn't do their wads. That's all it was.
That's right.
Working out. They worked us out this summer. We worked out like crazy people this summer because you guys worked us out.
Right.
They were professional baseball players, right?
Yes.
And injuries kind of took you out. So HGTV wasn't the first dream that you had to sort of lay down.
Yes, we had
professional baseball.
That's right.
Yeah, you had to die to that as well. So what do you want to ask? What do you want to ask Flip about raising boys?
I do. I just want to know, you know, when you have two boys so strong-willed, so determined to do their thing, you know, like you say, that Mustang thing, how was it that you were able to not squash, you know, what God had put in them, but be able to redirect it to the kingdom and for the kingdom purpose?
So how do you not kill the spirit, but at the same time corral it?
Because I think I did a lot of times wound their spirits and spanked them and dealt with them, and their mother really laid up upon them a couple of times.
I still have a nervous twitch because of it.
This one really needed it, I'm sure. That one right there.
But
the giraffe.
They knew that they had their mom and dad's heart. And listen, the only thing I want from these boys is, boys, just give me your heart. I don't want anything else from you. Give me your heart. No. This is what Solomon said. Just give me your heart. I'm coming after your heart. Because once God has the hearts of these boys, once Jesus does, he's going to take them in places that I don't really want to let them go and go. But I know that they're going to have to pay that price. And if they go down, I want them to go down standing up in the name of Jesus. And so that we held them tightly for a while. But I would always, when I walked with these guys, when they were little boys, I'd hold out my fingers like this. And I'd make them hold on to my fingers. They held on to my hand. I did not hold on to theirs. And they had to stay with me. So it was their job just to hold on to me. Just something that you build in, that you've got to hold on to Jesus. When things get torn apart and everything becomes black, and what was black and white at one time becomes a strange shade of gray, just like gray slush. They've got to have a foundation that I can hold on. This anchor holds. This Jesus that I know will keep you straight and true and morally straight. And then as people see you, that courage is going to invite others to come in. And that's what I remember David calling me up from, he was with the St. Louis Cardinals, and he was really struggling with a catching coach. And he said, Dad, if I keep this Bible study up and if I keep talking like this, Mike Matheny told you not to do it. He said, David, you got to get along with this. Mike Matheny, the manager of the Cardinals today, said, David, you've got to stop this or you're not going to get anywhere. And I remember Dave calling me up and saying, Dad, I don't know what to do, because if I stop talking about the Lord, I have a pretty good chance of making it to the bigs and making it to the show. But if I keep it up, I'm not going to make it. I'm just not. And I, you know what? You learn to die to your dreams. So what's important, Dave? We went through that. And I sensed over that phone as we prayed together that he was letting go, saying, okay, all right, the Lord's will be done. I thought it was that God wanted me to be a professional baseball player, a great catcher, and I would have a platform. But that's being taken away from me. And in tears, you let those things go. Because God is God, and we parents have to let them go. We're training them up so that they don't have to hold on to the finger anymore, but they know that the finger's always going to be there.
Get ready.
If you get in trouble, Dad'll be there. But if you get in trouble and Dad isn't there, then let his legacy just continue to drive you on further up and further into the kingdom. And I pray for them more difficulties and more things, that they come through the refiner's fire as pure gold, mighty men of God, afraid of nothing that breathes and fearing only God. And what that does is inspires others to follow hard after Christ.
I thought you told David just try to be more like your brother.
I didn't say that. There was something else I said about you. I can remember you calling me up on the phone in tears after your shin was shattered there in Hickory, North Carolina. And I remember that night so well because it was you dying to your dream. You said to me, "Dad, it's over." And I'm thinking, you know, dreams, why do dreams always have to die? But they do. Number one, that we go through disillusionment. And number two, that we know that God is the one that will take all of the mess that we see right now and make it into something beautiful.
That's good what news, isn't it? That's great. That's great. So, what would you say, guys, is the number, if you had to boil it down to one thing, I know it's going to be hard, but what is the one thing that translated most from your father's fathering of you, parenting of you, that you now are disciplined about and strategic about in your own parenting?
Well, a love for God's word. Bible study with our family and our wives and our kids.
There wasn't a morning that we woke up where our dad wasn't either praying in front of the couch or he was on his little ugly green stool reading his Bible. It was one of those two things. And that did cultivate an appetite in us to get in and go after God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength.
We've been reading the same Bible reading schedule since we were 12. We're still on the same one. So he's reading the same things that Jason and I are reading. When we were in the minor leagues, we'd call and we were in the book of Ezekiel. And Dad would be like, "Ed, did you see Ezekiel 33 today?" And I'm like, "Yeah, but what did you see?" You know?
Yeah.
And he would tell us. And still to this day, we do the same thing on the way up here. We were just talking all about the scriptures.
So some of the habits and disciplines and lifestyle choices that you have now as adults are because you've been doing it since you were 12 years old.
Yes, see.
Mm-hmm. See.
You said he's weird.
Yeah. You are weird.
He's the one that said that, not me. Well,
it's both of you, though.
I like it.
You know what? Babe, I just wonder if you would close this show in prayer. We haven't closed a show in prayer before, but I want you to close this show in prayer, and I'm wondering if you can pray for not only our sons, but sons. Mm-hmm. Pray for sons. Pray for the dads that are fathering them, their boys, and pray that we can raise up a generation of men that will stand firm for the gospel, will stand firm in their faith, and will be unashamed and unapologetic when they do it. Would you mind?
I will, as long as Papa Flip closes after me.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you for this time, for this day, for this show that you've allowed us to communicate, clearly communicate your word and let you know that you are the reason why we do what we do. Thank you for the boldness that you've given us. And Lord, I just pray right now that the boys that you've given us, the sons that you have given us, that we will take the lead that you have given us, and that we will go out and lay down our lives for your kingdom. Thank you just for Papa Flip, for David and Jason, for what they stand for, and just what their book says, whatever the cost, they're willing to do. They're willing to say, you know, send me before they even know what your question is. And I thank you for that. Thank you for them to being the great examples that you have given them. And I just pray right now, Lord, that that will just not only fall upon me, but also in my parenting and all the parenting of all the men who will see this show, and that it will fall upon them as well. I thank you right now, and you love us in Jesus' name.
And Father, we thank you for this evening, this wonderful evening. Thank you for a mother in Israel like Priscilla and a father like Jerry, and a husband like Jerry, for these boys that are fathers now and raising up those arrows that you have placed in their quiver. And Father God, we pray that we would leave a legacy for those coming behind us, and that they would run hard after Christ, and that they would indeed be just allow the sunshine of your love to explode in this world and just shatter the darkness. And that we might correctly sing with boldness and power that Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and our very best friend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next time.